Hello, everybody. Welcome to Our Morning Devos. Happy Friday. We just finished the book of Luke yesterday, and so we're starting a new book today. We're going to be in the book of Galatians. So I'm going to be reading chapter 1, and then we'll be finishing out through the rest of the book next week. But again, this is Galatians chapter 1. Let me read this chapter for us. Paul, an apostle, not from men nor through man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brothers who are with me. To the churches of Galatia, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to deliver us from the present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. I'm astonished that you are so quickly deserting him who called you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. Not that there is another one, but there are some who trouble you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one we preach to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel contrary to the one you received, let him be accursed. For am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? Or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ. For I would have you know, brothers, that the gospel that was preached by me is not man's gospel. For I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it, but I received it through a revelation of Jesus Christ. For you have heard of my former life in Judaism, how I persecuted the church of God violently and tried to destroy it. And I was advancing in Judaism beyond many of my own age among my own people, so extremely zealous was I for the traditions of my fathers. But when he who had set me apart before I was born, and who called me by his grace, was pleased to reveal his son to me in order that I might preach him among the Gentiles, I did not immediately consult with anyone. Nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me. But I went away into Arabia and returned again to Damascus. Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to visit Cephas, and remained with him 15 days. But I saw none of the other apostles except James, the Lord's brother. In what I am writing to you before God, I do not lie. Then I went into the regions of Syria and Cilicia, and I was still unknown in person to the churches of Judea that are in Christ. They only were hearing it said, he who used to persecute us is now preaching the faith he once tried to destroy. And they glorified God because of me. Amen. Just a little bit of background since we are starting a new book. This is one of Paul's letters, and this one is specifically addressed to the Galatians. This is a region in present-day Turkey. And Paul had preached the gospel in these churches. He had taught them, he ministered to them and shared about Jesus. And so now he's continued his travels throughout the region and he's not present anymore, but he receives word about, receives an update essentially about how this church is doing and where they're at. And so this letter is a response to that. And, one major theme I see in this chapter, and one we'll actually see throughout the entire book of Galatians, is this distinction between what is from man and what is from God. It's pretty typical in all of Paul's letters to introduce himself. And, in this case, he introduces himself as an apostle. We also see that in Romans 1, where Paul starts off with Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God. But take a look at how he introduces himself here in the book of Galatians. In the very first verse, he introduces himself as an apostle, and then he adds the clarifying statement, not from men, nor through man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead. This won't be the first time we see this kind of argument or language being used. In fact, we'll see it several times as we read through the book of Galatians. And the reason for that is because Paul's goal in writing this letter is to address the infiltration of false teachers and their false teachings among these Galatian Christians. And we'll get more into the specifics of what was being taught next week as we read through the rest of this book. But even without knowing what exactly these false teachers were saying, it's clear to us that the Galatians are actually receiving this distorted gospel, as Paul refers to it. In verse 6, Paul is astonished that they're turning to a different gospel. Not that there even is another one, but he can't believe that they would listen to people who want to distort the gospel of Christ. Now, why are these teachers doing this? Well, the implication, I think, from what we see in verse 10 is that it's because their motive is to please man and not God. You see, this false teaching wasn't simply a matter of, let's say, just having a wrong understanding of the gospel. Or it wasn't like a miscommunication of some kind, as if, you know, sort of like in the game of telephone, where a message is passed down from one person to another, unintentionally becoming distorted as it goes further and further down the line. If you played that game, telephone, you know, that's kind of what happens a lot of the time. But no, this is not that. From what Paul is saying, it appears that there was intention behind it. And this intention ultimately stemmed from a desire to seek the approval of man, to please people rather than seeking the approval of God. And therefore, all of this is ultimately misleading the Galatian Christians. I don't know if you've ever noticed this before, but we can actually see this kind of thing happening today as well when it comes to the Christian faith. There could be a whole lot of reasons for this, you know, maybe in an effort to be or come across as relevant and relatable, or out of a fear of what people might think, or worse, out of a desire to get something from a congregation. There are, unfortunately, leaders who will teach things that distort the gospel, that compromise the good news of Jesus and twist it in all sorts of ways. Some things that come to mind are things like the prosperity gospel or Christian nationalism or teachings that are more quote-unquote progressive when it comes to things like gender or sexuality. These are just a few examples that come to mind where people are distorting what Scripture tells us in terms of what it means to follow Jesus. Or, you know, even if it's not as extreme as any of these kinds of teachings, even simply teaching and focusing only or primarily on the quote-unquote feel-good elements of Christianity like love and hope and peace, but nothing about the cost of following Jesus, well, that then is also a distortion of the gospel that might stem from a desire to please or to seek the approval of others. Whatever it might be, the bottom line is that we must live and proclaim only the gospel that comes from God. When it comes to the gospel, the life-giving gospel of Jesus Christ, that we were once sinners but saved by Jesus Christ, who gave his life to deliver us and bring us into God's fold, we can't distort that. As followers of Jesus, we have to stand firm and hold on to the truth that is the gospel, not being swayed by public opinion or wanting to please others for one reason or another. As followers of Christ, we need to stand firm in this. Now, the reality is that we're not going to be perfect in this. None of us is going to live our lives perfectly holding true to the gospel, never being swayed or misguided in one way or another. And therefore, it's important that we carry with us a great deal of humility. Humility in knowing that, again, none of us is going to be perfect. Sometimes even with the good intentions, we're going to do or say things that aren't actually in line with God, the gospel. And so we need that humility. And with that humility, it's necessary that we continuously submit ourselves to God, who is perfect, to daily or even moment by moment come before him, surrender ourselves to him, and put our trust in him, depending on him and his grace for our lives. On a practical level, I want to offer a couple ways that we can do this. First, we commit ourselves to spending time. We can do this by committing ourselves to spending time in the presence of God through the reading of his word, prayer, and worship. The more we're with him, the better we'll know and understand his ways. So if you're reading along with us in our New Testament reading plan, listening to his devotional, you're probably headed in the right direction. I want to encourage you to keep doing that, and even challenge yourself to go deeper into the presence of God, whether again through scripture, prayer, personal, corporate worship, whatever ways it may be, to continue to go deeper into not just the practices, but to go deeper into your relationship with God. The second practical thing we can do, and I think is very important for us to do, is to actively encourage one another to do the first thing, while also seeking to receive from others as well. Paul wrote this letter to the Galatians because he had heard that the Galatians had received this false teaching. And as we'll see throughout this letter, Paul gets pretty worked up. In fact, even in our chapter, you can tell that he's exasperated. I mean, he says that anyone who teaches a distorted gospel is accursed. I mean, that's pretty strong language here. But at the end of the day, we can see that he's rebuking these Galatians because, first, that's how much he values and loves the gospel of Jesus. And so he's fighting for the purity of the gospel, but also because that's how much he desires for others, including the Galatians, to know and follow Jesus rightly. Paul knows how good and necessary it is for these Galatians to remain true to Jesus. And so he teaches and admonishes them for that very reason. We can and should do the same. We can and should also teach, even correct when necessary, so that others will walk rightly with Jesus. And on the flip side of that, we should have the humility, as I mentioned earlier, to be taught, to be corrected by others when necessary. The desire to please others, I think, can be pretty strong, especially in our day and age. As we've been talking about in our Daniel sermon series, there are all sorts of pressures from society in terms of how to live, what to think, how to behave. But church, let's remain true to the good news of Jesus. As a church, let's hold tightly to God's word, not allowing other thoughts or ideas to infiltrate our understanding of who Jesus is and what it means to follow him, but to look to God directly, to encourage one another to do the same. Let me pray for us. Lord, we thank you for the good news of Jesus, the fact that we have, that we have come to know this good news. Lord, I pray that you would help us as we live our daily lives to live with humility, knowing that even in our best efforts to follow after you, that there are going to be times when we make mistakes. We may, at times, whether for a moment or a long season, have wrong understandings of what it means to follow you. Help us, God. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. Paul doesn't mention Holy Spirit explicitly here, but we thank you for the Holy Spirit who gives us a proper and true understanding of your word and how to follow you. I pray that we would lean on you with humility, knowing that you are the way to the truth, the way, the truth, and the life. And also, Lord, help us to encourage one another to do the same, being willing to challenge and correct each other as necessary so that we can all set our eyes on you and you alone, not be pulled to the left or to the right, but to follow where you go and live the life of freedom and joy that you've called us to live. So thank you. I pray all this in Jesus' name.